Hello, everybody, and welcome to Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 47. I think that's right. I hope it's right. We have been speaking of Aries and its relation to various signs via its rulers, either Mars, in relating it to Scorpio, or Mercury, relating it to Virgo. And there are various crises which are connected with the signs. Scorpio, the crisis of the battlefield, also found referenced on Esoteric Astrology, page 472, where I think some 9 crises are listed. And the crisis of the birthplace. Okay. And we were just discussing that. In relation to Mercury and Virgo. We were talking about signs involved in the first initiation. Virgo, Leo, and Capricorn are all involved in that, though there is kind of a progression given in this crisis of the birthplace. The whole lengthy gestation period is ruled by Virgo. This is said to be brought about by the activity of Mercury, which is associated with the divine sun. We are interested in the birth of the second aspect, the consciousness, the Son of God, and we find ourselves entering the world of material enterprise. Let matter reign, it is said in Virgo. This leads eventually to individualization in, or rather, a growing individuality in Leo, and finally to the birth of the Christ in Capricorn. Though each one of these signs, Leo, Virgo, and Capricorn, can be associated with the birth of the Christ. But DK makes the series sequential, from Virgo through Leo through Capricorn. Though Capricorn and Virgo are both very much involved in the birth process. Leo is involved more in the recognition of the higher self, the second level of Leo, ruled by the heart of the sun and stimulated by Neptune, which is the repository of the solar flames and a planet which seems to stimulate the Christ consciousness within the disciple. The self-conscious individual in Leo becomes the Christ-conscious initiate in Capricorn. He becomes aware of soul relations and of a type of intimacy based on shared consciousness. This is different from the apparent distinction that exists between individuals based upon their apparently distinct forms. Distinct forms versus shared consciousness, perhaps relating to the mystery of the soul, which is ruled by Capricorn. That's where we came to approximately. We have another crisis, which one of the rulers of Aries connects with another sign. We're looking at the esoteric rulers, or through which one of the rulers of Aries connects with another sign. This is the crisis of the burning ground, and we have been told that Uranus is always involved in creating the burning ground, although Mars, through the fire by friction process, seems also involved. Uranus is connected, we're told, with the final burning ground, but it also seems generically to connect with burning ground processes, which are very transformative and seem to restore a human being more to his authentic identity or archetype when all the dross and the imperfect conditioned relationships are burned away and the energy thus released. So the crisis of the burning ground, which is brought about through the activity of Uranus, this is entered through the free choice of the initiate, in every case, who makes his choice in Libra. Maybe for every burning ground, there may be a kind of a Libran choice which precedes it. But the final burning ground has been definite. Perhaps for every burning ground, there is a choice involved. Okay, the choice is made in Libra, whether or not to enter that burning ground, because the candidate for initiation knows somewhat what lies ahead, although perhaps not the fullness of the experience. Otherwise, some might be reticent, hesitant to enter. They make their choice in Libra, free choice. The freedom of choice comes in relation to Uranus. Uranus is the planet of freedom. And even in relation to Saturn. Saturn is the planet of choice. Libra is the sign of choice. Uranus is the planet of freedom. So the idea of free choice, it just occurs to me perhaps for the first time, is very much concerned with Uranus in Libra. Uranus in Libra is involved with what is called the reversal of the wheel. So at those several points along the evolutionary path where it can be said that the wheel is in process of being reversed, Uranus in relation to Libra can be important. This is the point of balance where usually the moment for the reversal of the wheel takes place. Now, as I said, there may be more than one reversal, or at least the beginning of the process of reversal seems to occur during the fifth petal process, where a person can deliberately become an aspirant to the mysteries of initiation. But the final moment of reversal seems to be a moment between the second and third initiations, which very much involves choice in the desert. So there is a kind of a Libra-Uranus, Scorpio-Uranus process going on in the desert, where the so-called devil comes to Christ, and which is each one of us, and tempts him, us, three times, and we have to make correct choice. It is a free choice. It is a Uranian choice. It is also a Saturnian choice, because it must accord with the law. The higher law. Saturn, in a way, is even more powerful in Libra than Uranus is. Saturn has two positions in Libra. It is the hierarchical ruler and also the exalted ruler in Libra. So there, that is a reversal of the wheel which guarantees that a man will no longer be tempted towards the left-hand path. At that same time, one can choose a more selfish response which exalts the lower ego. And that can happen in the desert as well, even after the second initiation is taken. It's really hard to fathom that any individual could have faced the Christ as the initiator two times for the first and second initiation and still make such a choice. Okay, going on, there the man has to decide whether to proceed as usual and according to custom, or reversing the wheel to pass through the burning ground to liberation. Now, if we're speaking about the early days of reversing the wheel, it is not any final choice. It is simply a choice to move towards the sense of a higher pair of opposites, which we can call a higher power, or an inner God, or an inner voice. You know, there's all kinds of non-specific names which can be applied to that sense of something higher towards which one wants to proceed. But if it is later, after the second initiation, then there is a kind of liberation on which a fearful battle is fought between Mars and the Moon, and it precedes the third initiation, and one is making the choice to pass onto that particular burning ground which ends the ancient authority of the personality. That's the way D.K. puts it. Libra is the polar opposite to Aries and therefore closely related. What is he saying? That all polar opposites are closely related. So let's just put that down. All polar opposites are closely related. Libra rules paths. Aries rules fire. The two of them together provide a kind of burning ground, Aries and Libra are connected with the Great Bear and with a first ray type of power, a type of will, which one exercises as one chooses to enter consciously a particular burning ground. So proceeding according to custom, you know, that the custom is such an interesting word. It's kind of a lunar word or even lower Saturnian word. Do we proceed according to habit and to our conditioning, or do we freely and courageously decide to step upon the burning ground where the dross will be burnt away and we will be freed of our inhibitory conditioning so that we may enter a new dimension, a new stage of initiation? So free choice, isn't that interesting? Uranus, freedom, Libra, choice. I guess maybe that's the first time this has really occurred to me, the idea of free choice. And of course it works out today in the area of human relations where people freely choose whether to go according to law and custom or whether to follow some more individual choice with respect to partners taken and so forth. Obviously, this free choice runs the danger of violating the law, the Saturnian law, and entering into individually preferred but somewhat perverse states. All of this will have to be sorted out, you know, just how much freedom the individual really has to choose in the matter of orientation towards partners. It's a sticky problem, a difficult problem that seems to provoke people who are in the very individual stage in terms of making their choice. But it will have to be sorted. Will have to be sorted out. Ultimately here, Saturn will prevail over Uranus as the stronger ruler in Libra. You will note, says the Tibetan, that the rays which are related to or expressing themselves through Aries are curiously balanced. Well, it's, you know, ray 1 and 7 are the highest and the lowest, and therefore demand a point of balance upon the wheel, which is provided in Libra. Yes, so Libra is the seventh sign, and it has something to do with the law, which suggests the first ray. In Aries, the first and seventh rays are transmitted. But his phrasing is interesting, isn't it? These rays are the highest and the lowest, and therefore demand a point of balance upon the wheel, which is provided in Libra. So it's as if the Aries tendency moves towards equilibrizing in Libra. Aries, you know, sort of disrupts the balance. It plunges into new territory via the will and is not involved in the preserving any kind of status quo. It disrupts all status quos, probably in a Uranian manner, because Uranus is the highest ruler, hierarchical of Aries. But Libra restores the balance. There's nothing more balanced than Saturn in Libra. It is right relationship, and relationship according to Saturnian law. So, rays 1 and 7, and probably in the center of it all, will be found ray 4. Whether ray 4 is related to Libra, we can question. It seems like it is. Remember that every logos has every ray. Certainly our planetary logos does, so why should not the lords of constellations? Though certain rays are emphasized. And the harmony aspect of ray 4 seems very emphasized in relation to Libra, even though only ray 3 is given as a energy transmitted through Libra. My suspicion in this regard is that each lord of a constellation has three major rays expressing through it. Maybe sometimes there's a doubling up, but at least two. I don't think you would find that only a single ray is involved as transmitted through a particular sign of the zodiac on all three levels. I don't think so. That remains to be proven. Rays 6 and 4, now they are brought into the process through Mars, ray 6, and Mercury, ray 4, bring to the balance to this balancing process the energy of the second ray. These are both rays found somewhere in the middle between 1 and 7. And I've talked about the relationship between 6 and 4 at the 6th, 4th initiation, which I say, or the Tibetan says, the Christ Jesus pair underwent, and I would say the Buddha Gautama pair, which I am hypothesizing, underwent. And I've talked about my reasons for suspecting that the Buddha is one entity and the Prince Siddhartha Gautama is another. Rays 6 and 4 bring to this balancing process the energy of the second ray, the major building ray, which enables the man to build anew and provide himself with a spiritual body of manifestation. So, you know, Aries is has some of the building energy connected with it via two of its planetary rulers expressing on the soft line. And the whole idea of building a new habitation is very much connected with Aries. It's the initiation of the building of a new habitation. Let form again be sought. And we do know that the second ray is the major form-building ray. You know, these lords of the constellations, they have ways of balancing their expression. We know so very little about them. We know very little about our own planetary logos. And we must infer the rays of the other planetary logoi, though DK has given us certain hints. And what about the solar logoi, and then the lords of the constellations? So we know relatively so little about these great lives. But we're getting some idea of how they operate, what qualities they produce, and what are the rays which allow them to produce those qualities. I would also call your attention to the fact that through Uranus, Aries is related to Aquarius. I do believe he has begun to say that. Also, Aries is related to Leo, whose veiled hierarchical ruler is Uranus. And let's see, Aries would be related to Scorpio via the exalted Uranus in Scorpio. Let's see, what am I forgetting? There's Aries. There's Aries, Libra, Leo, and Aquarius. Those four have a strong Uranian content, plus also Scorpio, if we consider the veiled hierarchical ruler, Uranus. Okay, so through Uranus, Aries is related to Aquarius. Now, let's see what's going on there. Lords of constellations are related to each other through a particular planetary logos through which they function. Now, lords of constellations may also be related to each other through rays which they transmit in common. From Aquarius, we get the fifth ray. We don't find that in Aries, but let's just suppose we were relating Aries, Leo, and Capricorn. Whether or not ruling planets related these three, they would be all related through the expression of ray one. They would be related on the constellational level. They would not have to wait until we saw whether there was a ruling planet in common to find their relationship. So, okay, a lesser lord, who is the lord of the planet Uranus, brings about a kind of relationship, probably through Uranus, of Aries and Aquarius. So what I'm asking for is that we differentiate constellations related to each other on their own level or related to each other through a shared ruler, like Uranus in this case. The vague beginnings in Aries, well, that's kind of interesting because in Cancer there's a certain vagueness and in Aries there's a certain vagueness. The beginning of embodiment in Aries, the faint emergence of the latent, inherent, embodied ideas have, after the turning of the wheel in two directions, the wheel of form and the wheel of consciousness, brought release, i.e. through initiation, in Capricorn and produced the world server in Aquarius. That's the real meaning of Aquarius, the world server distributing the ideas in form to all who may be able to receive them. The world server in Aquarius who voluntarily stays upon the great wheel, using the cardinal cross as his conditioning signs. So here we're talking about at least an initiate of the fourth degree, and maybe beyond, and thus staying within the sphere of influence in order to help humanity to find liberation from the fixed cross. Who can help humanity rise off the cross of the soul into the cross of the spirit? Only one who is a spirit can help another find liberation from the cross of soul. That's how we look at the fixed cross. Now he's this world server, you know, in perhaps having the last necessary incarnation, is using the cardinal cross as his conditioning signs, you know. So DK will describe what this means for us by giving keynotes for the main cardinal signs. Initiation, manifestation, legislation, and so forth. So let's take a look at this. The vagueness. I want to talk about the vagueness in Aries for a moment, and I want to do that by moving to the idea of a certain type of light which is found in relation to Aries. 329 or so, Aries gives us the light of life itself. Remember, we're talking about vagueness, inchoate beginnings, things that are nowhere near as definite as they will become in that great sign of definition, Capricorn. The light of life itself. This is the dim point of light found at the center of the cycle of manifestation, faint and flickering. It is the searchlight of the Logos seeking that which can be used for divine expression. In other words, looking out for the material that can be gathered into relationship and into form in the forthcoming signs of greater densification. So there is a vagueness involved here, yes, at first. Or let's call them inchoate beginnings. Inchoate beginnings. So we cannot expect from the Aries mentality or way of proceeding that type of definition in form which we can expect from such a sign as Capricorn. So, you know, it takes a while to get off the fixed cross and to mount the cardinal cross. Oftentimes the last incarnation, let's call it the incarnation of the fourth initiation, is taken in Aquarius or under Aquarius. When you look at the horoscope of Sir Francis Bacon, it had the Sun in Aquarius, Mercury in Aquarius rising, and Aquarius as the rising sign. So it had a great deal of this Aquarian energy, and was that a fourth initiation incarnation? Certainly it was no less than that, because Francis Bacon went on as Master R to become a fifth degree initiate, the Lord of Civilization. Later, he went on to achieve the sixth degree. We don't know when, but as the Mahachohan, present Mahachohan, he certainly would have had to achieve the sixth degree, because you can't be a Chohan without achieving the sixth degree. So perhaps from the time he was Francis Bacon to the year 1925 or so, when it was basically stated that he was the new Mahachohan, we see the progress from the fourth through the fifth to the sixth degree. All of that is the business of the masters. One knowledgeable student of occultism shared with me his opinion that at the time that Master Moria temporarily took over Master Kutumi's students, Master Kutumi had to go away for a certain purpose, and it was to achieve the sixth degree or Chohanship. None of this is mentioned in the books per se, but this individual seemed to have a pretty good understanding of what that process was. Okay, moving on. Okay, from faint emergence of latent embodied ideas. I guess it's up to every Aries individual to make those ideas increasingly tangible and concrete. And I would say that the seventh ray helps with that. And eventually, when one is a true initiate in Aries, the precipitating power of Uranus under the seventh ray would help to make the latent embodied ideas far more definite and applied in the worlds of form. In the sweep of the zodiac, there are four signs which are signs of birth, of beginning, and of renewed cyclic realization. Let's see how he goes about describing this. Four signs of birth. Aries, Aries, the birthplace of divine ideas, not just any old thoughts, but of ideas which are truly coming from the cosmic ethers, where we can say that divinity begins. When we think about the lower three subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, they are the dense physical body of the soul, the logos, and they are no longer principled in the usual sense. They do not have to do particularly with the new regime in the second major solar system. They are not planes which are divine, but have to be rendered divine through the imposition of being pattern ideas that come from the cosmic ethers. So, Aries, the birthplace of divine ideas, that relates it to the Buddhic plane, doesn't it? Okay, let's just say relating Aries to the Buddhic plane as the plane of ideas. But we should not leave out the atmic plane, the monadic plane, and the logoic plane. All of them can be considered in the higher sense ideational. Anything that is coming from the cosmic ethers can be recognized as an idea within our three lower worlds. Aries, the birthplace of a divine ideas, whether these ideas are souls, see what I mean? Our identity really is an idea. We as souls are ideas. We as spirits, monads, are even more ideas. Even more so. Whether these ideas are souls brought in incarnation and controlled by Mars until they reach the point of reorientation, and become sensitive to the influence of Mercury. So this is very important, that the esoteric ruler applies only when a soul has reached the point of reorientation. So if you want to say, well, when can we apply an esoteric ruler? It's not for an individual who is proceeding as a personality on the path of Wheel of Form. Only once there has been a revolution under Uranus and a reorientation towards a higher power or the higher of the pairs of opposites, however vaguely sensed, can we use the esoteric ruler. And that's such good advice for astrologers presently at work. Don't just slap those esoteric rulers on anybody's chart. They truly have to be reoriented towards the spiritual life. But fortunately for us, most of the people that we are coming in contact with as practicing astrologers, when we use esoteric astrology, are precisely those who are reorienting themselves. Occasionally, we get a specifically personal orientation which has no interest in anything but the relative success of the personality life, but usually we get people who are reorienting. So the birthplace of divine ideas, whether ideas are souls, and I would add monads, or whether they are the birth of the ideas of God in the form of hierarchical plans to which the initiate becomes sensitive. Where are these ideas of God? You know, ideas of God found perhaps on the logoic plane. Oop, that's a lunar petri. That won't work. Logoic plane, on the logoic plane. See, I have these little codes which help me type certain frequently found combinations of words more quickly. The trouble is that they sometimes type those words where they're not wanted. Okay, so the ideas of God from the logoic plane, the true causal plane of the cosmic physical plane, the true world of causes. World of causes is the logoic plane. World of being, if you can differentiate these things somewhat, you can. World of being, the monadic plane. World of significance is the triadal levels. The world of meaning takes place on the mental levels involving the higher mental plane particularly. And then after that, we get into the world of forms. Okay, or whether they are the birth of ideas from God, ideas of God in the form of hierarchical plans. So, you know, Aries should have some strong relation to the archetypal plan of God. And we're told, you know, on page 332 of Esoteric Astrology, recognition and work with the plan. That's under Aries. So Aries is very good at noticing which ideas are emerging from the mind of God for a timely expression. So Aries and the recognition of emerging ideas. Aries and the recognition of emerging ideas. The ideas are already there, it's just the question of their timely emerging according to the plan. In the purpose, they are all there simultaneously, but we need a timed release of the aspects of purpose through the plan. So in a way, we need the release of Uranus, which is purpose, through Saturn, which is plan. Okay, hierarchical plans to which the initiate has become sensitive. So every Aries person should be asking himself, you know, what is emerging, what is coming? Can we say that the ideas are being born? Well, they're being born in human consciousness. They already have their existence on these higher planes. But when you seize upon an idea, it is as if it is being born in your consciousness. So the birthplace of ideas. When ideas are present all together in the realm of purpose, can they be said to be born? Well, they're only born as they emerge at the right time, according to plan. And that emergence into the five lower worlds, perhaps emergence onto the atmic plane where the will gets behind them, that is called the birth of an idea. But really the idea was already there. It just, you know, depends on what is the dimension into which the idea is being born or in which it appears. All right, so, you know, many digressions, but there are four signs which are signs of birth. So Aries is one of them. And now we come to Cancer, another cardinal sign, the birthplace into the life of form. What is an inchoate idea, fairly vague, nonspecific, non-delineated, receives a very definite kind of form under the moon or the forces that represent the moon, particularly, perhaps in this case, Vulcan, in the sign Cancer. The birthplace into the life of form, the door into physical incarnation. So Cancer, you know, in a way, it's a sign of imprisonment because activity in form is imprisonment, a sign of imprisonment, yes, in, maybe, P-R-I-S-O-N, imprisonment, yes. Physical incarnation, a more definite and contained form, a definite ring pass knot. A definite ring pass knot is created. Because when you think about ideas otherwise, ideas are omnipresent. In the Buddhic worlds, what is the location of an idea? It's everywhere to be grasped once it reaches the cosmic ethers. But when you're talking about the birthplace of an idea or a soul into form, it takes on a definite time-space relationship. The time in Saturn in Cancer is a freezing of time, and the seventh ray in Cancer gives a definite spatial relationship for these ideas. A definite form is the container of the idea. Cancer is the sign of all containers. So this Cancer is the sign in which humanity as a whole, integrated unit, is born. He's saying it again. He's saying that we come into incarnation as humanity in Cancer and individually in Pisces. You know, there are mixed references on this, but I've shown you already some of them, and this is another one. Humanity as a whole integrated unit, the fourth kingdom of nature, is born into form in this sign. It probably didn't occur in some month in which Cancer was available. It probably occurred in relation to a zodiacal period, a precessional age of some 2,000-plus years, even 2,500 years. Probably at that time, humanity was born. And even, you know, we don't know, could it have been a period of 25,000 years ruled by the sign Cancer, a Platonic year ruled by the sign Cancer. So anyway, this is the sign in which humanity as a whole, not as an individual, but as a whole integrated unit, is born. The scene of the emergence of the fourth kingdom in nature. Without the sign Cancer, we do not have the definite emergence of the fourth kingdom in nature. There must be a form upon the physical plane through which this birth of self-consciousness can occur. The self-consciousness is found in Leo. It takes maybe 3 million years until a man comes to himself and realizes that he has been born as an individual unit, but the beginning of that is Leo. So Leo and Cancer are very necessary for putting consciousness and form together. Humanity has emerged from rock and water and begins its habitation with it, as the old commentary expresses it, and mass instinctual consciousness comes into being. Well, perhaps rock is the moon, and Neptune is the water, although the moon is also associated with the water. So let's look at two rulers, moon and Neptune. Now, the moon is, of the five non-sacred planets, the moon is definitely associated with that outer shell, which can be considered the densest level of man, and thus the rock. Neptune is the water. Humanity emerged from rock. It has a mineral component and has an astral component, and brings its habitation with it, just like the crab does. Okay, so humanity at first is a physical, emotional being with a very, very latent mind, just as the crab does. Whoops. Okay, let's see what we have here. Just as the crab does. And I'll make that all red so that we have a little clearer delineation of what is commentary and what is actually stated by the Tibetan. So at first, you know, humanity is not an intelligent being. As a matter of fact, animal man had rock and water. It had the dense physical vehicle. It had the sentient vehicle, just like animals have the sentient vehicle, though that sentient vehicle is completely tied to the instinctual nature and is for a long time for animal man. But then in comes the thinking principle with the fourth kingdom of nature. And let's just say the fourth kingdom of nature and the thinking principle and Mercury are all related. Okay, I don't know why this is happening. I want there to be only one thing. Only one thing. So, fourth kingdom of nature. Fourth kingdom of nature emerges with Mercury representing mind and the number four. So there now can be a relationship between the soul and the form, and the mind emerges as the mediating principle. Okay, humanity has emerged from rock and water and brings its habitation with it. Humanity is, in a way, the moving crab, moving upon the land, moving upon or within the water, and growing more intelligent through Mercury and Venus as time elapses due to the individualization process. Okay, so that is another sign of birth. It is birth into form. The birthplace of ideas, Aries, and the birthplace into the life of form, Cancer. Now here's another birth. I'm very surprised that Virgo is not listed as a sign of birth. Is it simply listed as the sign in which the lengthy gestation process occurs and not the birth? There's a little ambiguity there, because it is said of Virgo, I am the mother and the child, I God, I matter am, and the whole idea of the birth labor seems associated with Virgo. So I'm surprised to see it not listed here, but the Tibetan, of course, will have his own reasons. Okay, Leo is the birthplace of the individual. This is not the same as the birthplace of the original idea or the birthplace of the soul into form. It is the individualization process and the increasing sense of individuality which is nurtured through successive incarnations in Leo. In other words, the sense of oneself as a center is greatly strengthened. Leo, the birthplace of the individual, the coming into form of individual self-conscious man. Now, at first, he is not that. The self-consciousness may be there on the inner planes, but it has not worked itself out into the brain consciousness, as we have been told in that section concerning the arrows which shot forth from the bow. Early individualization, you know, as we have been told. Well, let me just review that. You know, the arrows, let's say, arrows. How many arrows can there be? Here is, goodness, let's just try bow. And bow, here it is. The bow and arrow. No, it isn't. Maybe I'm in the wrong book. Yes, I am. It's a treatise on white magic. That's where that thing is found. Yes, there's only one, and there it is. The sons of God shot forth like arrows from the bow. The forms receive the impulse. The forms receive the impulse, and lo, a god was born. And this is the important point. The tiny babe knew not the great event. So the tiny babe is the tiny consciousness which doesn't know that it has become an individual center of consciousness. This took place 21 million years ago. Cycles passed, whatever kind of cycles, and when, at a later date, the sun was in Leo, approximately 18 million years ago, the first instances of coordination between brain and mind took place, and the human being was definitely self-conscious. He knew himself as a center. So, okay, that is interesting when we think about the Leo influence, how it definitely brought about the coordination between the mind and the brain. And the coming into form of individual self-conscious man, but not really self-conscious until 18 million years ago, not 21 million years ago. Leo, the birthplace of the individual, the coming into form of individual self-conscious man, okay, who emerged out of the mass, the basic physical, instinctual, emotional consciousness, and herd in Cancer. This is still happening, of course. So many people are still part of the mass and the herd, and they do not think for themselves. They think like everybody else, somewhat predictably and always with a somewhat, yes, definite emotional bias. So, emerging out of the mass and herd in Cancer, substituting for instinctual consciousness, which is, in a way, thoughtless consciousness, consciousness simply arising on the basis of instinctual tendency and desire, substituting for instinctual consciousness, self-awareness, and a sense of responsibility of an individual kind. Obviously, it takes a long time for this to grow. And during the fifth petal processes of the egoic lotus associated with Leo, we have the kind of responsibility which makes of a man a spiritual aspirant. He begins to think in terms of other people, in terms of helpfulness, in terms of the heart vibration. The first indication that the soul is really becoming effective is the growth of the sense of responsibility, and here he connects Leo with the sense of responsibility, as he would connect, of course, Saturn and also Capricorn. So the birthplace of the individual, it takes, you know, over a long period of time. People who are individualized are not yet truly individual. They are still very much part of the mass consciousness, perhaps until the distinguishing, discriminating fifth petal processes begin to work within them, and then they can distinguish themselves. They become distinguished individuals, and they stand out from the mass. They have their own particular unique pattern of understanding and expression. Carl Jung, who was a Leo, worked a great deal on the individuation process. Individuation, which is a individuation process, is the coming into expression of the soul through the individuality. Individuality, yes. So that's still a later stage of distinguishing oneself. Ultimately, the master of the fifth initiation is a most distinguished individual, very individual after many, many years of evolution, but at the same time, thoroughly submissive through the spiritual will to the divine plan. So, okay, the birthplace of the individual. What do we have so far? The birthplace of ideas in Aries, the birthplace of the soul in form, or of an idea in form in Cancer, and the birthplace of the distinct, distinguished individual over many millions of years. And finally, leaving out, of course, birth in Virgo, for his own good reasons, we have Capricorn, the birthplace of the Christ. Notice the word place. It sort of suggests the manger, which are suggests material conditions. The birth of the soul in a definite conscious way within the three lower worlds in which the animal nature flourishes, but not the truly human nature. Capricorn, the birthplace of the Christ, the place of the second birth. Perhaps Leo is the first true birth, representing individualization. So there is a progress from Leo to Capricorn, a lengthy process from individualization in Leo, with some other signs involved as well, like Gemini and so forth, into Capricorn, where the second birth, or the birth of the second aspect of the man, takes place, the birth of the soul. Capricorn, the birthplace of the Christ, the place of the second birth, and the scene for the emergence of the fifth kingdom of nature, the scene or dimension, when the right time comes. Notice the idea of timing here. Saturn in relation to Capricorn, in relation to Capricorn, which Saturn rules, Saturn as Lord of Time. So in the fullness of time, which the mother matter Virgo has to endure, the second aspect of man comes to birth, and only in the fullness of time, Vulcan for endurance and Saturn for the timing, and then the Christ will emerge. This is not necessarily the same as being born again in the classical religious sense. That may simply be an emotional reorientation towards the higher self, the sensing of the Christ, but the true Christ being born as a major motivating factor in the consciousness of the human being, that takes place more at the time of the first initiation, which may be quite a number of lives after that emotional reorientation towards a kind of higher self or higher power. At least that's my take on it. Capricorn, the birthplace of the Christ, the place of the second birth, the place, the situation of energies, the sort of dimensional condition in which this birth takes place, the scene for the emergence of the fifth kingdom in nature when the right time comes. Okay, in this sign, the initiate comes into a spiritual awareness. This is spiritual instinct, not intuitive instinct at the third, but spiritual instinct at the first. The initiate, the probationary initiate, comes into a spiritual awareness which demonstrates later in Aquarius and Pisces as man the world worker, that is definitely Aquarius, and man the world savior. Let's not forget how much weightlifting the worker in Aquarius does. In Aquarius, a lot of heavy, H-E-A-V-Y, heavy lifting occurs. And Aquarius has a Saturnian cast to it. Saturn is one of its decanate rulers and is also considered Saturn, you know, being like lead, representing all heavy weights. These have to be lifted up into the cosmic ethers represented by Uranus. Both of them with a universal mission. So there is a spiritual awareness coming in at the first initiation, but it has to grow over many lives. How many? I don't know. 7, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. It all depends on our choices. But perhaps archetypally we have the first initiation of the Christ, which is his birth, and then later we have the sort of fourth initiation at his 33rd year. You know, each year can represent a kind of lifetime in the process of early man, the phase between the first and second initiation. The second at the baptism, he was 30 years old. Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized, at least symbolically so. We don't know the exact number of years, but those seem to be the number of years which have emerged. So, okay, then we have four signs of birth. Aries, the birthplace of ideas. Cancer, the birthplace of the soul into form. Leo, the birthplace of the individual. We have Capricorn, the birthplace of the Christ, or the second aspect, the consciousness aspect in man, the Christ consciousness being born in man incipiently at the first degree and flowering fully in the fully developed master, who is somehow able to express soul or triad fully, able to express the Christ consciousness fully. He is the fully unfolded flower of the evolutionary process. And then we move on to Chohanship, which is already something new and different. Okay, let's see where we are. Yeah, we're getting there. It is from hints such as these that the astrologer of the future will determine the type of horoscope which should be cast. Have we been receiving some hints as we have been reading this? Is each type of birthplace a hint for us? Do we know what birth lies ahead for us? Perhaps we do. Each of these births doesn't occur just once, if you know what I mean. There are many phases of being born as an individual, many phases of being born as an increasingly potent Christ at each initiation. Many types of ideas are being born, and many types of embodiment of spirit, soul, in form are occurring. It's not just a one-time deal, you know. Even Cancer can relate to the causal body as a form in which soul is fully being born. So we can trace each of these kinds of births over a period of time, and we can see the ones in which we are maybe involved. All of us are an idea, especially as a monad. We're trying to express that more and more fully. All of us have successive forms in which our higher aspects are trying to express. We can develop those forms over time. All of us are becoming, are moving towards mastership through our individuality, the I that is I, the I that is we, the I that is I am, that I am. All of those are Leonian birth processes, and all of us are taking various initiations in which the Christ is more and more unfolded. So I think we can see how each of these births extends over time. It is not just a one-time process. It is from hints such as these that the astrologer of the future will determine the type of horoscope which should be cast. In other words, are we going around the wheel of form as an ordinary individual without real spiritual aspiration, without a sense of the higher of the pairs of opposites? Or are we, in fact, going around the wheel of consciousness counterclockwise? And do we have the sense of relating to the higher of the pairs of opposites? And do we want to, through meditation and service and study, come into relationship with that higher of the pairs of opposites, which is our truer self? Two questions will then arise requiring reasoned responses. Okay, well, maybe I just have a moment to read this, and then we'll deal with it later in number 47. Or is this 47? I'm getting a little possibly confused here. Yes, this is 47. This is 47. Okay. Is the subject a personality progressing around and around the wheel, perfecting self-consciousness and developing a rounded-out personality via the cross of many changes through experience, looking outward, and the working of the law of karma? That is Saturn. Subject to the great illusion of the three lower planes, and arriving eventually at the height of personality ambition in Capricorn? In other words, are we going from Aries backwards, as it were, through to Capricorn, climaxing a life of personality ambition? Or is this person beginning to manifest as a soul? Notice that the people with whom we come in contact are probably beginning to manifest as souls and are not full souls in complete expression, third degree initiates and beyond. Or is this person beginning to manifest as a soul, pouring light through the dense fogs of illusion and preparing for the major tests in Scorpio to be followed by initiation in Capricorn? So this is the person proceeding counterclockwise, and this is proceeding clockwise. And, you know, that's the fundamental judgment we have to make. Now, you know, we are mostly blessed as people studying esoteric astrology to be surrounded by people who have some degree of spiritual aspiration and can be at least beginning to manifest as a soul, in which case, when the point of reorientation comes, the esoteric rulers can at least be held up as an ideal or an objective. All right, so we are now at the end of EAA 47, pages, oops, there's one of the examples, let's call it pages, where were we, 103. So we went from 101 to 103. We're pretty much doing about two pages a time with all the digressions, but I've been told by some that they prefer my digressions to my teaching, so okay, maybe that's the way it goes. Now we will, together, as always, do the great invocation. Yes. Excuse me. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. Okay, friends, we have reached the point, and we will continue with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 48, continuing with Aries. We are, we're not even halfway through that sign, but there are so many things that need attention. And what I'm assuming is that as you study esoteric astrology, you want to get more into the depth of it and not just be able to, whip off a few horoscopes, but really to see what the difference is between this deeper approach to the ancient science and the more conventional approach. So we'll see you for number 48 before long. Bye for now.